will always meet with any business owner to talk about where they are today and what their goals are. That can lead to one of three results. One, we decide to move towards and explore an exit planning and consulting process around developing a plan today that might have a multi-year and multi-phase structure. And the second option is we do go to market. We've developed an assessment of value and we agree that now is the time. And the third option is it might not be the right option to sell. And we're happy to have spent that time and to learn. And sometimes that does happen farther down the road and sometimes it doesn't.
Mary McKinney Flaherty is a partner at Tobin Leff, an M&A advisory and exit planning consulting firm that helps business owners sell to strategic buyers and private equity groups. Whether someone is ready to sell tomorrow or wants to build value through acquisitions or increase profitability, Mary works with her clients to really meet them where they are. She has quite the background in law and investment analysis, and you're going to want to hear her biggest business secrets when it comes to building a business to sell. Coming up, you'll hear about Mary's career transition and how she got into M&A, the importance of starting your business exit planning process before you are ready to sell. She shares how to handle the emotional aspects of selling a business. And finally, Mary reveals her biggest business secret. This is the Entrepreneurista podcast, presented by Socialfly.
It's the best business meeting you'll ever have, with must-hear real-life looks at how leading women in business are getting it done
and what it takes to build and grow a successful company.
It's beyond the gram,
with no filters,
no limits,
and plenty of surprises. Mary, I am so excited to finally sit down with you today to have this conversation. So many founders in our community are building businesses to solve problems that they're super passionate about, and many of them may not even realize that there is an opportunity to ultimately sell their business one day. And there's other founders that may know that they're building a business to ultimately sell. So I love that we can have this conversation today to talk about really all of the ins and outs of building a business to sell and share all of your advice and expertise. But before we dive into absolutely everything and all of your advice, I'd actually love to hear more about your background, Mary, and your career journey. What was your background prior to becoming a partner at Tobin Leff?
Yeah, so Steph, thank you so much. It's just a delight to be here with you today with such a tremendous founder like you, with what you've built in Entrepreneurista and this tremendous community. So thank you so much for having me here. My journey, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I am one of seven kids and the daughter of a founder and a lawyer. So my father founded a real estate business that he then eventually sold to my brothers who run it today. And my mother was a lawyer, was trained as a lawyer. She will joke that she is still on extended maternity leave. My mother did not practice law as I was growing up, but I grew up around all of her friends from law school who were lawyers and judges and very involved in their communities and extraordinarily successful in their careers. And they were my mentors and the female role models I had. And so what did I do? You know, I was taking all these business classes in college, but when it came down to it, I kind of pursued what I knew female success to look like. And it was, I loved the law. I loved our nation's institutions, all of that, thinking about the legal process. But as I practiced law, I loved my clients. I came to really, really connect with and love the stories in particular of people who had founded and grown businesses. And those were the people when they came into my office, I would just sit there scribbling or listening and just loving the idea of being Stephanie Carton or Guy Raz for, you know, the first hour. And then I shifted into the role of attorney and was often in a very specific role helping to solve a problem. And that was great. And I enjoyed it. But during the course of this journey, I came to realize I wanted to serve the same people in a different way. And during the course of my journey as a lawyer, and I practiced law for almost 20 years, I went back to business school. So I went to business school in my 30s, did an executive MBA program, which was wonderful and transformational. But how I ended up at Tobin Leff is, for me, all roads lead back to the ballet. So I served as the board chair and president of the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and our treasurer was in private equity, is in private equity. And he and I were working very closely together on lots of issues related to the ballet. And this was while I was finishing up business school. He said, you know, so what are you going to do now? He had an MBA from years ago, and that informed a lot of what he did. And I said, you know, I love my clients and I feel like I'm in the right story. I love this story and I'm in the wrong role. And I'd really like to shift to working with business owners in a different way and helping them as they tell these stories to build and grow and to move on to what's next and to apply in these new skills that I've developed. And he said, you should talk to my friend Chuck Gottschalk. And so I'm at the point where I'm doing informational interviews. I'm not sending out job applications. I'm still practicing law. I still think that's my future. And so Chuck, who is a partner at Tobin Leff, and I had a coffee. Yes. And really the rest is history from there. Chuck and I hit it off. Chuck's just phenomenal. And I'll talk a little bit about him later and what he brings to the process. He introduced me to David Tobin and Scott Leff and all of the other partners. And what I was so grateful to have found and immediately inspired by, and something that I had not experienced in the legal jobs where I had been, was every lawyer, I feel like, individually has a mission and what draws them to practicing law. I had not yet had the opportunity to work in an institution, in a law firm that had been so mission-driven and client-centered in its focus. And so at Tobin Leff, our mission is to help business owners maximize and monetize their life's work. And we are truly committed to that in all of its facets. And that's the life's work of building your business, but that's also moving on to the life's work of whatever is next and thinking about that holistically. And so that's how we got to where we are today.
Oh my gosh, Mary, I love that mission, but your story and just all of the different paths that had to go a certain way and you realizing when things needed to change and taking different turns and ultimately the network you built and the connections you have led to that next chapter. And that's something we talk about all the time, you know, in our community is just building these great relationships and connections, that's how things end up happening. Because when you share with people what you're looking to do, what you're looking to accomplish, and they can then make those connections and introductions, that's how we're all able to just do so much more together. So I love how all paths led to your your role in your future at Tobin Leff.
Yeah. And what you're talking about there, I mean, it was this community of women lawyers throughout, and I didn't touch on that in this story, that helped me to take this leap, that helped me to take the leap into, so I ended up becoming the chair of the Women in the Law Division of my bar association at one point. And that was through, I joined a cohort called the Women's Institute for Leadership in Law. And it was 25 mid-career attorneys, all at that inflection point in our careers. And many stayed and grew within their organizations, and others took pretty drastic leaps like I did, with the support of that community of women, of that community of professional women. And so that's, you know, it's something I learned from my mother and from all of the women she had come up with through law school and beyond, and something that certainly impacted my career 100%.
Oh, that's amazing. Also, I want to go back to you, Cher. I was picturing your family growing up. You said you have six other brothers and sisters.
I do. So yes, I'm the fifth of seven. There's two families. So my mother is my father's second wife. We all grew up on the same street, though. So my four older siblings lived four houses down, and they moved back and forth on the weekends and throughout the week. And we had a really nice blended family. We're all very close today. Four of us are in Pittsburgh, three are in California, and the other six are all business owners in addition, so of various sorts. My one sister's an architect and engineer who has a PhD in construction management and builds homes. My brother's have taken over the company that my father founded. My two younger sisters run a company in San Diego. And we're all business folks. So
I think it shows, like, you know, who you're surrounded by when you're growing up definitely influences your future. And we'll have to get your sisters into the entrepreneurial community too, right? Mary, for those that might not be familiar with M&A and really creating a business exit strategy, can you share a little more about what it actually means to develop an exit plan and to sell a business? And how does that process really affect both the founder and the company?
Yeah, so building and growing a company is one thing and takes an extraordinary set of skills and risk-taking. And then you get to a point where you might think there's something else that's next. Maybe but beginning with the end in mind is really what the exit planning process is about. So we at Tobin Left will go through a 5-phase process of working through an exit plan with clients that begins with really assessing it and identifying an owner's goals, desires, and intentions. And that's that you got to start with why. And I think it's really helpful to ask why 5 times. You know, I want to sell my business. Well, why? Well, I'm tired, or I really would like to recognize this amount of money. Well, what is it about that? And asking why to get to really what is the underlying at the crux of it? Is it about moving on to that next personal passion? Is it about having more time to focus on a professional venture? Is it about family and community and other things that might be important to you? Is it about a recognition of the success that you've built and wanting to see what that is? Is it about some level of risk allocation and taking chips off the table? Oftentimes it's a little bit of each of those, but recognizing the priorities within that and then beginning to develop a plan, which the next phase is really an assessment of what the value of what you've built is. And that's digging in detail to financially where you are today and where you could potentially be. What's driving the value of the company? How dependent is the company upon you? You know, is it all around you, your personal networks, your connections? That makes it harder to sell a business. And if that's the case, being realistic about what that would mean during the course of a sale, and also steps that you could take. Maybe you can, it's very helpful to begin this process 3 to 5 years ahead of when you want to be exiting the business. That's both because of structures, which we can talk about later, related to what the sales process might look like, and earnout periods, which we can talk about, and also preparing a company for sale, preparing yourself individually, emotionally, preparing the team, and starting to stage the house as well of the business to get things like, when are your accounts receivable coming in and how is that affecting the cash, that's different issues related to how the finances are structured. Then it's getting to clarifying what the plan is in light of your goals, desires, and intentions. One, does that current value meet your needs? If you're someone who's looking to retire or take a significant period of time off and you need cash flow to support that, does the value that you're looking at today support that? And if not, what are steps you could do to take to build that value? So we generally will build both a plan A and a plan B if we're going through an exit planning process, which helps you to negotiate from a position of strength there and also have that fallback position, marching forward towards, it might be selling your business, but thinking through what the process of an internal sale might look like. It might be thinking about selling your business today, but being prepared to take the next 2 years. It's all sorts of different things based off of different contingencies. And then it gets to the phase of preparing yourself, the rest of your team. And then when it gets to the right stage, clients and other stakeholders, what does that preparation piece look like? And then it's really implementing the full plan. So that's how we walk through, but really foundationally, so much of it is about that question of why, and having a deep understanding of what's motivating this decision and whether selling your business is solving that problem or selling your business at what you're able to do so for it today is.
Have you met with business owners before and they share what their vision is and what their goal is and you've, you know, put them on a different path to say, maybe selling your business isn't the right path for you and there's other ways to get to where you want to be?
Oh, absolutely. So for example, sometimes it's coming in with the idea of an external sale, or sometimes we work in it, about half of what I do is working with clients through internal transitions. And so sometimes the goal might be to sell externally. And we just had a client we're working with right now where we're wrapping up the final paperwork. The goal was to sell externally. It was a very niche business that the market wasn't responding to the story necessarily. We tried, we knew it might be an uphill battle. And there was a tremendous key employee who it turns out is a great future leader for that business. So there was both the process of bringing that and the reason why that person hadn't just been becoming CEO to begin with and buying it is there were pieces that they didn't possess with the founder's skill set. So you can hire for that. So they went through a process of bringing on a partner, and then those two partners will eventually own the company. It's meeting the financial needs of the founder and the owner. And it's also then meeting the needs of people who understand the business's clients, and understand this was a geographically specific business, understand really what the clients in that region need. I mean, it was the best result for them. And that was after a period of trial, but sometimes it's talking with someone through what their needs and desires are. And it might be just pushing it off for a period of time because people have an expectation of value that's either based off of their needs and or some sort of framework that might not be the way an external buyer is valuing the deal. For example, if you are a founder who provides so much, your network, your connections, your individual brand and identity are core and tied into the value of the company. We do out financial models, and sometimes it might make more sense for you to operate it on your own rather than sell at that point or to develop some additional structure.
Up next, Mary shares her insights on the intricacies of business valuations and the consulting services her firm provides for exit strategies. How are these deals typically valued? You know, you hear all of these big deals in the media. This company sold for $100 million. This company sold for $1 billion, $20 million. But how do those valuations actually get calculated?
Excellent question. So the vast majority of our clients at Tobin Leff are the owners of services-based firms, and we've developed a specific niche area in marketing and communications agencies. So David Tobin and several of our other founders and partners founded and sold their own marketing and communications companies, and that just became an area where we focused, and over the last over a decade have developed a very specific area. In that area, multiples of EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, is the measure. And so that's a calculation. It's a measure of your profits and your cash flow at the end of the day. And then developing a multiple. And that multiple is affected by all sorts of different value drivers. So for example, if you have proprietary technology that you're using and developed and you have a patent, that's going to increase. If you're in an industry that's growing and expanding, that's going to increase. If you are a founder who's so important to the company and there's dependence upon you, that decreases that because that increases the risk of a sale. If your profits are smaller, even if the size of the business is large, that decreases the multiple. And the multiple increases as the overall size of the business increases as well. And there's different things related to industry, to business specific risk, and to market risk. And then multiples will change over time depending upon what's happening in the broader economy as well.
When you work with your clients, do you offer consulting services where founders can come meet with you just specifically to like learn about the exit planning process and work with you in that capacity versus just working with you like when they're ready to sell the business and running a whole process?
Oh, absolutely. And we are always, it's better to begin that conversation sooner rather than later. We're happy to have completely free of charge, you know, I love meeting founders. As I said, that's my passion and that's what brought me here. I mean, to have those conversations is wonderful. We'll always meet with any business owner to talk about where they are today and what their goals are. That can lead to one of three results. One, we decide to move towards and explore an exit planning and consulting process around developing a plan today that might have a multi-year and multi-phase structure. It might be about building business value. And a couple of our partners, Roy and Janet Tyler, do work on that set of things a lot. It might be about doing things over a shorter period of time, or it might be going. And then the second option is we do go to market. We've developed an assessment of value and we agree that now is the time. And the third option is it might not be the right option to sell. And we're happy to have spent that time and to learn. And sometimes that does happen farther down the road and sometimes it doesn't.
No, that's super helpful to hear. And I think it's really important too, because I know even in our entrepreneurista community alone, we have lots of marketing agency owners, lots of service-based businesses. And I've had, you know, one-off conversations with a lot of people about selling and the process of selling. And is that even an option later on? And many times I say, you know, go talk with Mary inside the community because she could definitely point you in the right direction. Because for some people, you might want to run your business forever, and that might be the right choice for you and how you want to continue to, you know, lead your life. And for some people, like you said, there could be all different reasons to ultimately want to exit your business. So just to know that there are options and to be able to have conversations with you and then ultimately potentially work with you for planning that process. I always say nothing really happens without a plan. So planning is definitely a very important step.
And as I mentioned, what I love so much about the people with whom I work, with all of my partners, with our entire team, is how focused we are on meeting our clients where they are and not trying to fit them into the solution that we might want to see, but to have really that range of options and to walk through multiple options. We will talk about that. Selling a business is an emotionally, financially, and legally complex process. And if you miss talking about any one of those three at the outset and thinking about how to get those pieces in order, it can all fall apart later. So you need to really focus on one, again, that why and what's driving this from an underlying goals perspective. The financial piece of understanding what the value of the business is today and what it could be. And then legally, are there steps that you need to take to plan and prepare? Sometimes, depending on if you got investors early on and there's smaller pieces of your cap table that could get in the way if you wanted to do a certain type of exit, you might decide to buy out certain of smaller level investors that you have or partners that you've had, because now might be the time to do that. There might be other contracts or other things that were really helpful early on, but could create barriers to sale because they might create an obligation for the buyer that the buyer isn't willing to, that wouldn't have affected your business at all running. So getting all of that in order and thinking about how to plan and prepare and not being under the gun so that you're at the very last minute having to make those changes is a key piece of the process.
For founders who are starting their business now, or they're in their early days of beginning their business and they know they ultimately might want to sell their business later on, what are some of the key things they should be thinking about today, like as they're setting up their business and their structure and their processes that can help them down the line ultimately when they want to sell?
As you're founding a business, it's always important to be talking to a lawyer and not just signing things because you're small today. Because if your goal is to grow what you're entering into, and this is my old hat as an attorney, you got to make sure that you're not setting up any legal structures that are going to be problematic based off of future goals. So I would say, even more so than a financial advisor or an M&A advisor, an attorney is the one to talk about, because it is those legal structure, those ownership, those control issues that can be problematic down the road. And focus on building and growing your business. I mean, the key to building a larger multiple, a larger exit payday, is developing a core value proposition. You know, what is it that sets you apart from your competition? How are you developing that? What does that look like? What does that mean? What is unique about you? And making sure, too, that it's transferable. I wouldn't want to distract a founder who's got great networks early on and saying you need to make sure that you're not too dependent on those networks, because that's absolutely the sort of thing that you should be focusing on early on. It might be something that at some point you do need to make sure that other members of your team, that otherwise you are transitioning and shifting. But I would be careful to, beyond the legal structure piece of things, advise too strongly around some of those things many, many years in the future. Now, when you're looking 2, 3, 4 years out, walking through and talking with advisors who can help you think through what is driving the value of your business. Based off of those things, are there pieces of that value driving that you want to invest in more to further grow your value? Are there other pieces that, and I know I keep coming back to it again, but the founder dependency piece of it, or other issues related to how your accounting is structured, other things that you might want to make shifts in now to prepare for creating a more, because transferability and uniqueness are really two of the key qualities here. You need to show that you're unique, that you have a vision for growth, and that what you have built is then transferable to someone else.
That is such great advice. I'm so glad you shared that, Mary. Coming up, get ready to hear Mary share success stories of how her firm has helped founders achieve their personal goals and her biggest business secret. I would love to hear about some of your success stories, founders that you've worked with, where you've helped them through the process and ultimately have an awesome exit.
I'd love to talk about the ways in which we help founders in a few different categories, and it's based off of meeting their goals. So the first would be, one, there will often be someone who has a real personal driver for wanting to sell a business. For example, we have a client who wanted to founded a nonprofit, and that was their calling and where they wanted to focus their energy and wanted to be out sooner rather than later. And it might not have been the maximized payday that it could have been had they spent five or more years building their business, but that was what success meant for them, was finding a way to focus on their personal passion. I have another client who has a special needs child, and that was, for this chapter of their life, needed to be the focus, and were able to find a buyer for whom they needed the services that that company provided and were able to expedite that exit. In a different way, where we've helped founders is to open up their eyes to the possibilities, to bring creativity into the storytelling and the visioning process of what their business could become post-acquisition. And so one of our clients came in wanting to eventually retire and said, hey, I've built this and grown this. I think it might be worth $8 million. That's what I figured out I need. And do you think I could get $8 million for this business? We said, well, let's take a look. And so Chuck, who I mentioned, along with our team, did a detailed financial analysis. And along with that financial analysis, really looked at what the business was and saw, because of some very specific things about a niche practice area that they had developed, that there was a growth story here to tell. And so we developed a two-pronged approach of taking this to market that we thought would be very attractive to private equity buyers. First, we kind of shopped that value proposition out on an anonymous basis, had conversations with buyers in our network saying, hey, is this something that might be appealing to you? And it did seem like it was gaining traction. And so ended up launching that. And at the end of the day, it was a $40 million deal for this founder. It was five times what they thought they could bring in. And that was because of bringing creativity to how you would frame it and how you might then take this to market. Not changing the business at all. There wasn't anything that needed to change about what they were doing. It was opening up to a story of future growth. And so that was a company that had a much higher multiple because of this possibility for growth that existed. Then there's looking at who are the potential buyers. We had a client who had a business focused in cybersecurity. And we're looking at, it was an agency, but looking at agencies, larger agencies, strategic buyers, instead of just looking at agencies in that way, looked at strategic buyers more broadly and expanded that to consulting firms. And because of looking, we then were able to look into cybersecurity consulting firms and make a sale there. And so by looking more broadly at who might be interested in expanding that possibility, that ended up in a really successful sale. Another way is we, in the structure that we create, we've tried to align our incentives so that we are only getting paid when our clients are getting paid. And so many sales involve a structure, particularly sales to strategic buyers, involve a portion of the proceeds up front and then what's called an earnout structure. So usually over 2 to 3 years, sometimes it's longer than that, clients or sellers will need to meet certain targets based off of either revenue or profits. In calculating that, you can get into some pretty detailed accounting. We only get paid when our clients get paid during the course of that earnout process. And we stay along with them throughout the way to defend. If they've done everything they need to do, we make sure that they're getting credit for every single dollar they earn and making sure that all of those dollars are coming back to them in the same way. So the accounting function that we do is really a way in which we've been able to deliver enhanced success. Chuck on my team will always say, we want to talk about the numbers so that you don't have to talk about the numbers later on. So the beginning phases of our engagement are a real deep dive into the accounting. into the underlying books and records, into what's going on there, historical practices, things related to contracts and ongoing obligations, and anything that might raise a question after you get an offer. So there's a storytelling piece to what we do, and there's a real deep financial analysis mm-hmm. piece to what we do. And the more we can be presenting 100% accurate numbers so that we're talking about the business and the business growth story, instead of having to talk about, ooh, oops, wait, like, I'm not sure what that is. We need to make sure upfront that before we take significant time before we go to market, making sure that all of the books and records are in order. And that's a real benefit that we bring to our clients, which when we calculate what EBITDA is, when we calculate what AGI and top line revenue is, that's what it is. And we feel very confident that we're going to be able to defend those numbers at the end of the day and really hang with the biggest of them. And this is not to say that founders are doing anything really wrong in the way they're running their businesses. When you are running your business, you are focused on 100% incredible service, creating the best product possible for your customers, providing the best possible service to your clients. You're focused on ensuring that you have cash flow at the end of the day to meet payroll, to pay all of your expenses, and to meet the profitability metrics that you've set forth. And you're ensuring that you have an excited and happy team that serves the needs of your client and you're building and growing that. You're not focused on GAAP accounting. And so when we come in, that is really an area where we focus. It's not fun, it's not exciting and sexy, but it can be really sexy when it leads to a bigger check at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you guys are really good at it. So thank you so much for sharing all of the details there, because I think it's so important for people to understand and hear this. And it really gets me thinking about something that I've always known from the time Courtney and I first started Socialfly, was we need to focus on the things that we're really great at and hire other people, agencies, service providers that are really great at what they do, mm-hmm. because we all can't be absolutely great at everything. And if you're looking to sell your business, want to learn more about selling your business, like, go talk to someone like you, Mary, who is an expert at that. And don't try to figure that out on your own, because it's going to take you a lot more time and it's going to be a lot harder than just speaking to an expert. So it's definitely a complicated process.
Yeah.
So thank you for explaining how complicated it is.
And on that, as it is key to, as you're preparing for sale, to talk to advisors, and it's wonderful to talk to more than one. It is great to get that counterpoint, because you're going to be spending a lot of time together and you want to make sure that you like the person, you trust the person, and that you feel very confident having them walk alongside what mm-hmm. is going to be a challenging process. I mean, there is a lot to go through during the course of selling a business. You've built and grown something and now you're parting with it in a way. That's an emotionally fraught and challenging process to go through with. You're going to be dating all sorts of buyers, some of whom you're going to be really excited about and they might not be excited about you, or they might be really excited about you and you need to reject them. And that can be stressful and frustrating and feel like a real challenge. And you need to trust that this is someone who knows exactly what they're talking about, that has the relevant experience, that's mm-hmm. going to be able to on that financial, on that legal. And it's about an advisory team. So mm-hmm. we are M&A advisors, but we are always partnering with accountants and attorneys and others who form a full, and speaking with financial planners and advisors and all of that to ensure that we're not just focused on a singular goal, but really looking holistically at what is needed and getting in front of issues before they become big issues down the road.
No, absolutely. And I like that you pointed out about the process being very emotional. I have talked to so many founders over the past few years who have exited, and that is the common theme of the conversations, is just the process is and can be very emotional. And then ultimately, after you sell your business, for so many of us, you know, our business does feel like our baby and something that mm-hmm. we've birthed over the years, and separating yourself and like your personal brand and your business brand from this thing that you've created, and now someone else owns it, and just dealing with that emotional process after can be really hard. I just spoke to the founders of a company called The Barcode. They just sold their business this past year to Bar3, and now they're the largest independently owned women's boutique fitness chain. And they like could not even believe the emotional toll that everything, they had an incredibly successful exit on paper, right? In terms of the revenue that they, you know, made from the sale, but just what it did to them emotionally after was so challenging. And, you know, they shared too, just being able to talk to other founders who've gone through it has been really helpful.
Absolutely. And having that full emotional support network as you're going through the process is wonderful. And talking to others who have been through it, preparing yourself and asking them the question, what do you wish you had done? You know, what would you have done differently going into this? And then as you're going to it, also being sensitive to the fact that everyone's story and everyone's business is unique and different, and that the times do change and the industries are different. And so there might be reasons that they might not even know why one result was different than another. But particularly in that support and community piece of it, it's so essential to talk to others who have been through the same process. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's why we have this podcast and conversations like this, so we can all learn from each other and share these stories. And we really, you know, Mary, I think you're the first person we've spoken to on our podcast that specializes in M&A. We haven't really had this conversation before. We've talked to other founders who have exited and a bit about their process, but we haven't had these deep conversations really talking through the actual process and what you need to think about and prepare for and how to set your business up to eventually sell. So I'm so glad that we've been able to have this conversation today, because it's very important, because a lot of times it becomes almost like too late. You know, you've built this incredibly valuable business, and now you have something that maybe you can sell, but it might take you, you know, a year or two to properly now, you know, backtrack certain things or set things up to be positioned properly to be able to sell. So I'm glad we're getting this information out to everyone today. So they can be prepared.
And thank you so much for including me in this conversation. Information is power, and it's our desire to share openly with everyone about everything they need to know going into this process and would need to go through it. So I'm delighted to be here to make sure all owners are better prepared as they enter this next phase of their journeys.
So Mary, I have to ask you,
yeah,
what is your number one biggest business secret that you have not shared yet?
What I would say is my business secret is you don't do anything alone. And I think early on in my career, I was so feeling individualized pressure and feeling the need to perform individually. And the more you find partners and allies and communities and aren't afraid to raise your hand and ask for help, the more success you're going to find. And it really is about being there for others and recognizing that when you have those conversations, when you're of aid, that all comes back to you fully. And that really the joy of it is in not doing it alone. So that would be the secret, is that there's a lot more joy in community and a lot more success in all of its iterations.
Well, I have to agree with you. And I think that's my secret too. So we share the same business secrets. Surround yourself with an amazing community. So true, Mary. Last question for you. What does being an entrepreneurista mean to you?
So I would say an entrepreneurista is about community and tenacity and real grace under pressure. I think of, I started this conversation around the ballet, and I'll end there as well. Many of the artists in the ballet company who I talk with would talk about how the injuries they had, or over time things would happen, and you would continue to put on the performance of your life, adjusting whatever may come, and the show must go on. And so I think of all of us entrepreneurs as getting up there, you know, your point shoe breaks, you're still dancing with one of them on, doing all of that, but also knowing that then you do have the support and backing of a full community around it. So, yeah.
I love that comparison. Yes, resilience. And I think I say that all the time too. The show must go on.
Absolutely.
You just have to keep going, figure it out, and perform. Mary, I am so glad we were able to have this conversation today. As I said before, it's just so important for founders to really learn about all of the opportunities and if selling their business could be right for them one day. And I do want to share with everyone that you are going to be speaking at our upcoming Entrepreneurista Founders Weekend in May, from May 3rd to May 5th, over at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. We are so excited that you're going to be there with us. And Everyone, Mary will have the opportunity to meet with you in person there. So make sure you reserve your ticket for the event. Come meet Mary in person, hear her talk all about building a business to sell. Mary, thank you again for being here. Where can everyone find you and follow you? And for those that are interested in having a conversation with you or maybe even working with you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Thank you so much, Steph. So first, I hope to see everyone in Orlando the first weekend in May. Would love to see you there. For all of you entrepreneuristas, you can find me on the Entrepreneurista community platform. You can find me on LinkedIn, and I think you'll be sharing the link after this, Steph. Please do visit our website, www.tobinleff.com. There's lots of wonderful white papers there, additional podcasts we've recorded, and information about selling your business. And you can reach out to me directly also via email, mckinney@tobinleff.com. I'd be delighted to meet with anyone who just wants to learn about what the process is like. And I'd love to hear your entrepreneurista story.
Thank you, Mary. Yes, we'll be linking out to everything in the show notes below. So go tap those show notes right now and you can click right through and go connect with Mary. Mary, thank you again. I'm Stephanie, and this is the best business meeting I've ever had. Hey, thanks for listening and leaving us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'd love to stay in touch with each of you. You can listen to all of our latest episodes at entrepreneurista.com and connect with us on Instagram @entrepreneuristas. We'd also love to invite you to join the Entrepreneurista League, our private membership community for trailblazing women. You can head over to entrepreneurista.com/the-league. We'll see you there. Wishing you a productive week ahead.